In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace. Please be seated. Please be seated. When I was a student at this fine institution not too many years ago, a lot of us spent a lot of time sitting around talking, maybe daydreaming about what that congregation might be like when we receive our blessed first call. The call service coming up in a couple weeks. Maybe some of you are daydreaming right now. But I would imagine none of us could envision the kind of congregation that St. Paul is talking about in his letter to the Corinthians. I mean, what was that congregation like? It was in chaos and confusion and fighting, immoral behavior. Paul says that he planted and Apollos had watered, but what happened? A congregation with all kinds of shenanigans going on. You and I might ponder how we are going to deal with a congregation that might have lax communion policies. Well, Paul's dealing with outward drunkenness at the Lord's Supper. Or we think about that day when we have to, in Christian love, counsel a young couple who are cohabiting. Paul's case with the Corinthians, they are not only hosting, but they are boasting of a man in an illicit relationship with his own stepmother. There's a nice little concise summary of what goes on here. It's in the Lutheran Study Bible, talking about what's going on in Corinth. And it says, in short, things got so wild and disorderly that everyone wanted to be the expert. Everyone wanted to do the teaching and make what he pleased of the gospel, the sacrament, and faith. And meanwhile, they let the main thing drop. Namely, that Christ is our salvation, our righteousness, and redemption. As if they had long since outgrown it. And Paul points out that there had been no spiritual growth in this congregation. No result of his planting and Apollos watering. This young Christian congregation existed still on spiritual milk instead of the solid food of a mature faith. Paul's disappointment with the Corinthians and his corrective instruction delivered with pastoral care and loving makes up the entirety of this first long letter to the Corinthians. Now, I've been using this letter with my own congregation at Peace Lutheran Church down on the south side of Fort Wayne. Not because we have these same kind of problems, nothing like that. But all congregations can fall into this trap of directing attention to matters of the flesh, taking their focus away from Christ. See, for the last couple of years, my congregation has been consumed with efforts to reach out to our neighborhood. We are truly a baby boomer congregation, begun right after World War II. We're now 68 years old. We grew up with our neighborhood, but you know what? Our neighborhood has changed. It is now very diverse. It is very different than it was back in the heyday of my congregation. Most especially, it's diverse in the number of people out there that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The fields all around us are still very ripe. There's plenty of people to reach out to. But we need to rethink how we go about doing that. So my congregation is making big changes. We are updating our facility. We are improving things. We are repurposing space in order to give us a better opportunity to form relationships with our neighbors, to reach out to folks who are not traditional churchgoers, and certainly not generational Lutherans. And the most innovative part of our strategy is adding a Christian coffee house and a neighborhood meeting space and a wellness center, all housed in a part of our building that formerly has been very lightly used at best. We're not changing anything about our sanctuary, other than we added air conditioning, praise be to God. And we're certainly not changing anything about our worship life. We have a vibrant, wonderful worship life at Peace. But the face of Peace Congregation will undergo significant changes this year. And all of this is very exciting. It's exciting to me as the pastor. It's exciting to the people. Last Wednesday night, after my confirmation class was done, I took the kids downstairs. I showed them the construction. Well, it's actually demolition at this point. Showed them this large space that's being rehabbed and repurposed. And they were getting excited about this. And truthfully, it's even more exciting to think about what God may do through our efforts. When I talk to people in our congregation, in churches around us, in the neighborhood, with our friends at the Lutheran Foundation that are helping us, you know, the reaction is inspiring, it's affirming, it's very hopeful. We ask, is God going to bless these efforts that we're doing here? Well, through the eyes of faith, I believe He already has. And I am very excited to see what this year is going to bring. But in all this change and all this excitement, there's a warning. Or at least there's a reminder of what happens when we get off track. When we get distracted by all this busyness, all this newness going on, and when we forget why we're doing what we're doing. Who's in charge of the results? See, there's no hope to be found in any solution that I come up with. Our hope is to be found in Christ alone. He provides. He empowers the growth. He's the one who makes this or that idea succeed. It's not our ingenuity. It's not our creativity. He gets this done. And for any congregation seeking direction, the real need is not my idea or yours. The real need is Christ. And herein also lies a wonderful little piece of gospel for us. Here is where Jesus removes a great burden from our shoulders. He takes the burden of our success and the ultimate responsibility from us. You know, there's many nights that I lay awake and I think about what we're doing. And I think about, is this going to succeed? And I confess that I worry. But then I think back to all the ways that God has already blessed us through our 2 years of campaign and fundraising, to simply the blessings that I've experienced as being the pastor there these last 6 years. And I realize He is the one providing the growth. We are His workers, but the results and the glory are all His. Now, I wanted to share these thoughts with you today because soon enough many of you will be tasked with shepherding a flock of God's precious sheep. And in addition, you will need to exegete your community, figure out how you are going to reach all those lost sheep that are out there. It's not easy. And there's many opportunities to get off track. So above all else, we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. He is the reason for everything we do. And according to His perfect will, He alone gives the growth. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all our human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and forevermore. Amen.